Timothy, please. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. First chapter, first verse. I'm in the second epistle, by the way. By the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? The promise of life, the promise of it. Now, whenever there's a promise made, somebody's got to capitalize on it. You know, if you promised to give me this rose and told me I could take it to the coach, you've made the promise, right? Now it's up to me to take the rose and go to the coach with it. This is the promise of life. The promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So you've got a promise, but the only way it's ever going to get to the children or to anybody else is if they take it. And they cannot take it until you set it out there for them. You have to make it available to them. Then they can take it. That's what he's talking about. Promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of life is not in what these children's magazines in the secular world write. It's not there. I suppose some of them are okay. I don't know. I haven't got time to read that because I don't even have enough time to read truth. Now I know this is truth. So I spend very little time in the secular stuff. But the promise of life is in Christ Jesus. So if we want life for our children, where do we go? Right. For the promise is in Christ Jesus. We go back to what He set, what He made available for our people. Well, then he says in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my what? Forefathers. There's your generation stuff that I'm talking to you about, understand? With pure conscience. Pure means with a clear conscience. And conscience, people, is nothing but habit pattern. Habit pattern. And the way you build a habit pattern in your mind is put on the promises of Christ Jesus. That's how you build a habit pattern. And the word pure there is clean. See? That without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Man, that's really laying a fellow's life on the line, isn't it? You keep laying it out there and keep praying for him. And I'm sure you do this in your children's fellowship meetings, like I told you I did for all of you that are here as coordinators when they gave me this sheet this morning. This is what I was most blessed getting this morning. I knew you were in here, but I didn't know who was in here. This told me who was in here. And so I could, without ceasing, have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. Meaning that he constantly kept bringing him up and praying for him. Greatly desiring to see thee. I know what that one means too. Sometimes you get so hungry to see people, you wish you had them there so you could chew on their ear or something. I am. I just get so hungry at times to be with certain people, but I can't be with them because they're not immediately available to me. And then the only thing you can do is to pray for them, keep rejoicing in your heart and thankful for them. Being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. You see, being with some people makes you happy, but being with other people makes you joyful. You know, if you got a baseball team and you're playing another team, you're whopping them good, that's happiness. But the team itself that you're on, that brings joy. Joy is an inside job. Happiness is dependent upon the things with which you surround yourself. It's external. And he's talking about the joy that's in a man's heart when he's with that someone that he really loves to be with. And then comes verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine believing, the unfeigned faith, the genuine believing that is in you, that is in you. Now, how in the world did that genuine believing get into Timothy? Next phrase. Which dwelt first in what? Grandmother. That puts him third generation, doesn't it? Grandma, Ma, and he. Third generation. In thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in thee what? Also. There it is. The reason he had this genuine believing, unfeigned faith, his genuine believing, is because his grandmother taught it to him. His mother taught it to him. In the general order of things, the overall, a man may be the leader. But when it comes to children, when it comes to the in-home, nothing counts as greatly as the mother, the woman. That's right. It's you mothers that build the greatness of believing into our children that we father. You are the ones that set that pattern. The man may be able to coordinate the whole household, but it's still that wonderful woman, that mother in the household, that builds that genuine believing into that child. And I've seen so much of this in our ministry around the country, for which I'm so grateful. Little kids fall down and just bump themselves, and they come a-running wanting mommy to minister to them or pray for them. That's building genuine believing. Before that, other young kids, when something happens, they immediately think of first aid, running to the doctor, doing something else. We always think we go to God first. That's our mothers. And by the way, that's why you're having a lot less noses broke and arms broke, because you live that way. And that's exactly what Lois did, what Eunice did. And then comes the great sixth verse, which I think is sort of neat. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. I want to remind you, Tim, that you stir it up. You stir it up, the gift that is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a what? Sound mind. It is the responsibility after the children continue to grow up, as the great believing has been built in them, that others keep encouraging them to stir it up. If you want a great champion, it takes great training to make a champion. But then, to keep that champion a champion, I sometimes think is even a greater challenge. Doing an interesting thing this weekend. I'd like to do it, but I can't do it. So I shipped JP and Chris Gere to the national finals of the German Shorthair Pointers Retrievers at Upper Sandusky. That's a real sinful, ain't it? I don't think so. So that's where they were yesterday and today. That's where they run the finals, the national finals this year, and it's so close. You know, and then I couldn't go because I had to do some artwork yesterday or some whatever they were doing. And then I wanted to be back here today. So I left JP and Crisco. But they will see the world's champion, German short-haired pointer. Now, how's that man who's got that world champion, how's he going to keep him world champion? That's a biggie. Building it into him is great and wonderful, but then keeping him as a champion is real neat. And stirring it up is what keeps you a champion. Not only to lay it, honey, in the foundational life of the children, but then keep stirring it up. And children are, in many respects, just like German short hairs. You got to keep going over the stuff and over the stuff and over the stuff. Now, you can take TJ, who is a trained guard dog. Some of you have found out. When we put him in the coachman's suite, nobody walks in. But do you know how you keep him as a champion guard dog? Because every 2 months, maybe every month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, after, I don't think they wait that long, we do a plant on him. We do a plant on him, which means we get someone in to rob our coach. Yeah. That's how we keep him sharp. Keep him a champion. Children, huh?
I don't want to be the one.
Well, to even do this, what he said, he didn't want to be the one. He could be the one, but he'd have to know what to do. He's got to know the detail. Why do you work with animals, see? But that's how you keep champions champions. When you take them out in the field, what most people do with hunting dogs, you know, they put them in a dumb pen, lock them up, swear at them a few times, and when they bark at a few other things like this, and then they forget them. Next fall, September, October comes along, and man, he goes, man, you're a great dog. I got to take you hunting and pet them all over, take them out in the field, and then they expect them to, you know, be champions. And then they don't do it, and then they use a shotgun and shoot them in the rear. See? And this kind of stuff. Bunch of baloney. If you're going to have children, you can't pen them up for 11 months and expect them to be right on the 12th month. So what do? You keep working with them day after day. You take, like, for instance, when they heal, when I stop, they're supposed to stop and sit down. So every time you're taking a walk, if that dog is with you and you want that dog to heal, you make that dog carry that out to the nth degree. That's how you keep refreshing their mind and you build it in them. Children have to be taught like that. I think sometimes the world pretty well just, you know, has intercourse, they get screwed, you have a baby, and then you forget about it. But that's not the ministry, boy. Our ministry is to have those beautiful babies and then teach them the greatness of the Word. Move the Word in their heart. Give them something to believe in. And then stay working on them to build them into champions. And then some of the older men and women then have to take those champions and keep them champions. That's how you're going to move the Word through the children, through the young people. And someday those young people will be adults. And they'll be fathers and mothers. And that's how the life of the ministry of the greatness of God's Word can go on. And one of the reasons I'm so blessed with this facility, because we're the only believers organization that is doing something for the whole family. For where a mother and father with their children can come and for 1 year or 2 years in residence can get the greatest amount of the Word of God it's possible to put into a life in that short a period of time. Yesterday I taught the art people, yesterday morning I guess it was, and I said there are two ways to become an artist. Well, first of all, you have to have natural artistry ability, like Craig and Bob and Foster always speak when they go out in public, if you're coming core, don't come core unless you got natural leadership ability. Got to have natural leadership ability. If you're going to paint, you have to have natural painting ability. That's all we're saying. So that's axiomatic. That's just where it stands. Then, you can go one of two ways. You can either self-develop, develop yourself in your art ability. Go on your own, do your own thing. Or you can spend time with the masters and learn from them. If you do it on your own, yourself, you got 20, 30, 40 years till you reach your best. If you can find a master in the field, then no matter what it costs, no matter what you have to sacrifice, no matter what you have to do, you, if he will have you or she will have you and allow you to study under them, and if they will communicate to you, there is no faster way to go. So you don't spend time with second rate, you go with the masters. And in 2 years' time, in art, if you really were sitting under a master who would teach, most masters don't teach because they're afraid somebody else will get to be a better master. I'm talking about a master that has the heart of a teacher, that will share everything he or she knows, lock, stock, and barrel, hold nothing back. That's the individual you have to find. You must have studied under someone like that in your field. Your dad was one of these men. Boy, is he. People, that's the way. Takes 3 to 5 years working with a master where you can produce after that all your lifetime what will take you 30 or 40 years by yourself doing it yourself. So that's what I taught him yesterday in art. Same thing is true in the Word. Out on the field, the greatest place to be is in the twig. No greater place than the twig ought to be hot. Hot leadership, great leadership, move the Word. Then, if you want to become a master in the whole field where you need this to train others out around the world, then I don't know any other way to go but core, Bob. No other way to go but core. So, the principles of the Word are available to our people. Then it's up to you to take this and practice it. Put it into practice in your life. Teach it to your children and your children's children to the third and fourth generation, okay? Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being here this morning with your wonderful people. Thank you for all the children's fellowship coordinators. And thank you for those of us who keep enjoying the children and praying for them, believing with them. And I thank you for this wonderful location here in Indiana for our family corps. Thank you for the leadership here and all the students and all the children. Every one of them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.